This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Just a couple days past the May primary election, and we wanted to get some thoughts from State Representative Virgil Osborne about how things went. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, as you watch all of this and being a public official yourself, which, by the way, running unopposed at this point, in fact, everybody locally, I think, was running unopposed in the primary. And so that simplified that kind of thing. But as you looked around, what were some of your thoughts? I guess I'll start with the obvious one that you would probably like to address is the gas tax measure.
Well, you know, the gas tax, thanks again for having me. The gas tax was interesting. It was kind of a dilemma because, you know, we told Governor Kotek in the House, I mean, we had this discussion with all the Democrats in the House during session that, hey, if you guys pass this, we're going to refer it to the ballot. And it's like they just didn't believe it. And then I don't think they believed they could that we actually could get it on the ballot, and we did. And unfortunately, they did move it to May when it should have been in November. But nonetheless, I think we had like 95% disapproval statewide when we did the polling on it. And then it came out, it's still, you know, they're still talking about numbers coming in, but I think it's over 82 or 83%. So that's a big deal. And that was a tax that was forced by the governor. It was forced by the, you know, the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate agreed to pass it. So, yeah, I'm thrilled that it went down in flames.
So, yeah, about 82, 83% statewide. Douglas County at like 94%.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, as long as I've been watching this, I've probably ever seen anything defeated at that level, which obviously crosses ideological viewpoints, it crosses parties, it crosses just about every line you have out there.
Yeah, it's hard enough to live in Oregon and be able to afford to stay here, and then adding more taxes to, you know, to the people who, you know, it's hard enough to get a job, it's hard enough to have a place to buy, it's hard enough to pay for your groceries, and to think that they're going to add more taxes, and there's more coming. I mean, this isn't over yet. She's going to do it again, and we're going to deal with this in January when we go back into session, I'm sure, because I'm, you know, at one point they were talking about laying people off because they didn't have enough money. Yet, funny, they never laid anybody off.
So, do you think at some point, or do you think it's before January, this is going to be, you know, result like in a special session?
No, they're not going to touch it. It's a campaign year for the governor. If she knows if she does anything between now and November that it'll probably cost her seat, and hopefully she will get her seat taken away from her anyway.
So speaking of the governor's race, you had a lot of folks running for governor, Democratic side. You had everybody but the governor, not really known at all for the most part. You had a number of Republican candidates, three or four, that were the most well-known over the course of time. What were your thoughts there? Did it go differently than you thought?
I was hoping for Ed Deal. Ed's a friend of mine. We both came into the legislature in 23 together. We've worked together a lot. I think he's a great guy. I think he would have been a wonderful candidate, and I think he could have definitely been the guy to put the state back together. I also am friends with Christine Drazen, and I immediately called her right after the election results came out and congratulated her for winning. I mean, we all in the legislature worked together, and frankly, moving forward, I think all Republicans ought to get behind Christine Drazen 110%. I mean, we can't afford not to. We have to win this seat. It's just so important to work together as a party, and Christine is our person, so that's who we're going to support.
Coming out of it, you know, it's always tough for a candidate, for supporters. You put a lot in there. I know as of last I heard, I didn't get any more information this morning, Ed Deal was waiting to officially concede just because some folks had asked him to until more of the ballots came in. But at the same time, he kind of echoed what you just said in terms of what to do going forward. But I've already heard various, you know, social media comments, everything from people encouraging Ed Deal to run as an independent in the fall, or people that are just going to write in his name anyway.
Yeah, it's garbage. It's typical social media garbage. There's so much garbage out there right now. I haven't talked to Ed, but I know Ed's smarter than that. Ed will pull for the person that can win the general election. I don't even need to call him and ask him because I know that's garbage.
And for the average person, though, I guess maybe it takes him a while to kind of get over the who they really wanted?
Well, you know, you see a lot of that on social media, and unfortunately, social media gives everybody an avenue to complain and gripe and moan. You know, half the folks that are on social media, I wouldn't say half, but a large number of folks that get on there and complain don't even vote. They just need a platform to get their opinions across. And what I find the best thing to do with social media is to just not turn it on and just don't even pay attention to it. Every once in a while, I'll look at my social media. I know we've got some real crackers around here that like to post stuff that's complete garbage about, you know, our commissioners and even myself. You know, I see some of the stories and I'm going, well, there's nothing to this that's even close to true. And if you really question it, then call the commissioners or call me or call whoever it is. Call David Brocksmith and ask us, and we'll ask. You know, we'll answer truthfully. But I think people will get over it. We just don't need another Betsy Johnson. So,
well, and it's, you know, here we are in May. I have not heard anything about anybody out there really thinking about that.
Well, that would be the right in as Ed Deal. I just don't think he's not that kind of guy. Ed is the guy that's going to bring unity back to the party and we're going to win this thing. We're going to go after it 100%. And I don't think Ed would do that.
And do you feel like, as this goes on, the Democrats find there's some interesting scenarios out there as well? One of those is that at some point late in the summer, maybe July, maybe August, that there's some talk of the governor being asked to withdraw from running again, not resigning, but pulling out and putting somebody else in.
Yeah, I social media, haven't heard that directly, and I think it's garbage. But, I guess time will tell. Our governor is definitely squirrely. She will do things that are against the people's will, and that would definitely be, I think, against her party's will, but so it wouldn't surprise me. But there's a lot of time between now and November, so things can change quickly. I don't see that as a realistic move.
Well, and it would be certainly a pretty unusual move to do that, but of course, after having the governorship for decades, the Democratic Party might want to be, you know, creative, work harder to keep it if they are afraid the governor may not make it. Especially right now, a polling data from a couple weeks ago that the governor was polling negative 59% right in Portland.
Well, I mean, frankly, a lot of Democrats, especially the Democrats in Douglas County, and by the way, we have a lot of really good folks down here that are Democrats, but that doesn't mean they're bad people. We talk often, and frankly, I don't think I've heard one of them say that the governor's doing a good job. I think the Democrat Party is very disappointed and very unhappy with, you know, the homeless issues, the taxes, I mean, the lack of jobs, the unions are running the state. I mean, all of the above. You know, when you get down to the blue-collar worker, it's not fun to live in Oregon right now, and people are leaving, and the guys with money are leaving, and they can afford it, but they have to leave because they can't afford to stay because of our governor's policies. But you know, when I say our governor, I mean, remember, she was Speaker of the House for 9 years before she was governor, so I think that puts her as 13 years now in, and so her policies have long been part of what's going on in the state, and being in the supermajority, they pretty much have ruined the state. So when people talk about getting rid of the governor, I think we should talk about getting rid of all of the Democrats and replacing them with people with common sense in the legislature, period. And I know I'm a little harsh on that, but you know, it's a tough uphill battle.
And going towards the election cycle, one of the other things, and maybe this will shift again, but it seemed like during the primary that some folks opted to not necessarily move totally away, but for instance, not make financial contributions. There were some of the big unions that sounded like were not going to make any endorsement.
Right, and that's all just basically, they're just you know, kind of making a stance and putting out a statement. The reality of it is when the general election comes around in November, those same unions will fund the Democrat Party, because that's what they do, because the Democrat Party fights for their rights, and they fight for things like DEI, they fight for things like higher wages, they fight for things that are hard on businesses, and the unions like it. The reality of it is, at the end of the day, when all of this comes around and we continue in the direction we're going, there won't be any jobs for the union people to have, because we will have effectively put all of our businesses out of business. So it's a tough deal, and it's really, I think Ed Diehl calls it a doom loop, and Portland's seeing the worst of it.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. We're going to feature some Umpqua Community College events on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. State Representative Virgil Osborne, it is the Oregon primary postgame show, sort of.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Talking about what happened in the election. Voter turnout, I don't know what the norm is. It seems like anytime you're, well, right now I think I've seen 31% for the county at this point is ballots that are still being counted. Why the lower interest in the primary, or is that pretty much the norm?
I think that's the norm. I haven't spoke to the clerk, to Dan Loomis, but I believe the norm here is between, like, it's probably in the high 20s to low 30% on most primaries. You'll see more for a general, you know, because there's always a governor or president or something along those lines that's up for election, but most people just don't care. And it's sad, because if you don't care about politics, politics will find you and it will care about you. And you may not like the way it cares about you.
Well, and even if folks didn't have a particular opinion, whichever the party they might be in, on, you know, some of the big races, I mean, there are local things. There are, you know, measures in Sutherland and Myrtle Creek and other places, too.
Yeah, sure. And, of course, Measure 120 as well. The measure in Sutherland probably got more people out in Sutherland to vote, I would imagine, because that was kind of a big deal. That was a tax that was levied to help with police and fire. Sadly, I think it's going down, but I think that some cops and some firemen are going to end up in not having jobs.
And when you watch this around Oregon, were there any surprises as far as legislative candidates in the primary?
No, but we really put some good ones in. I think one of the things I might have mentioned, but in Oregon, in the legislature, Governor Kotek's a bully, and so is the Democrat Party. And if you don't agree with them when you're actually voting on things in the House, they will find a way to primary you. And two of my favorite legislators in Oregon, Senator Solomon, who's a Democrat, and Representative Daniel Wynn, who's also a Democrat, they're moderates, and they both sided with the Republicans on some very important bills. And the doggone Democrats, they primaried them both, and they both got past their primary, so they're going to be back in their seats again. Daniel Wynn is an absolutely amazing guy. He's a business owner. He gets it. Even though he's a Democrat, he understands how to sign the front side of a paycheck, so he knows the problems that we're seeing. So, other than that, I know, Brad Hicks ended up being the winner down in Jeff Golden's district. That's going to be that'll be a really good runoff there. Who else? Claire Lynn Guzbe, she won readily, which is really good. Our commissioners all won, other than Commissioner Boyce will likely have to go to November. But I think that if you look at the numbers, I mean, even though he didn't get 50% plus one, he got 50% more votes than the guy that was running, the number two. So, I mean, that was good. But I think it was a good night for Republicans. I think we put the right people in the right places to win some races.
Yeah, you talk about the your friends in the Democratic Party being primaried. At the same time, on a national level, Republicans did a lot of that.
Yes, they did, and I do believe all of Trump's endorsements won. That he was, in fact, even Mitch McConnell's out, which is probably a good thing for the Republican Party.
And do you feel, though, that this whole aspect for both parties, that if you don't agree with them on everything, they want to get rid of you, even though you may agree with each other on 85% of things?
You know, I'm a firm believer, and if you just like Reagan had said, if you agree on 80% of the things, then you probably should be friends. You don't have to be, allies, but you should be friends, I think that in the Republican Party, just as in the Democrat Party, you have a fringe group of far-right activist folks who they hate you because you're not Republican enough if you don't agree with 100% of what they say. And the Democrats have the same thing. They have a far-left fringe who hates everybody in their party if they don't agree with them 100%. Working together, especially in a place like Douglas County, because we're so rural, I think it's important that we work together, because it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. We all have to go put food on the table. We all have to have jobs. We all have to do the same. We suffer the same problems. But I don't know. I hope the state's to that point now where we can start working together and quit fighting each other, especially amongst our own party members. But I don't know. It remains to be seen.
So as you look ahead towards the general election, are there going to be some really competitive legislative races?
I think so. I think that Brad Hicks down in Ashland, that Senate spot for Jeff Golden's seat will be very competitive. I didn't even mention Senator Brock Smith, who's running against Merkley. I think that he's about just a little under 8,000 votes away from calling it, but I think he's going to win that that primary seat. That's going to be probably the biggest race of the whole year, minus the governor, of course. But I think we have a good chance of flipping that seat. And again, it's not because David's a radical. David is the kind of guy that can work with folks and he can make things happen. And I know the plan, because we've all met and talked about what the long-term plan is there and how DC is going to help out. So those are good. There's tons of, Jamie Cates' district. We've got a guy up there that I think is actually going to, in the Senate, I think is going to end up in that primary seat, which is good. We've got some strong people.
What about the governor's race? We get usually... politics kind of pulls back a bit over the summer. People are on vacation and it's sunny and warm and people necessarily don't care as much. What do you anticipate? Do you anticipate a high spending level from both sides?
I do, and I also think that the governor and her party has done so much damage to the state, and I mean, it's all around us. I mean, you look at the homeless issues and everything else, and we can go into the whole politics of the thing. I think they've done so much damage, and it's unabashedly done. They don't care. They did what they did. They're forcing it amongst the folks. I think that they had better be on their game, because I think that Christine Drazen's camp is going to take it to them, and they're going to take it to them early. And I think you're going to see common sense legislative talk, and I think that you're going to see unity amongst the independent voters, amongst even some of the Democrats that are more moderate. I think the time has come. People are sick of it.
And one of the tricks with Oregon, tricks is maybe not the best word there, but you've got a chunk of the state that's very progressive, you've got a chunk that's very conservative, you have a number of people in the middle. When you're running as a Republican in some of the past governor's races, it seems like if you reach out a bit too much to the center, then some of your core from the right aren't as happy with you or less enthusiastic. But if you stay kind of in your right lane, you don't get as much support from across the aisle, which you need numbers-wise to win.
Yeah, and it's always come down to the issues that really don't make that much difference, things like abortion, right? I mean, we need not bring that as an issue. The state's already passed all the laws on abortion. We can't undo that. That's done. Some of it's even in the Constitution. That's going to happen. We need to talk about the things that are important. And the things that are important to the everyday common person that's living is jobs, safety. If you're not safe in your home, public safety, then nothing else matters. Beyond that, drugs. I think that the Democrats have no hill to stand on when it comes to the basics, the homelessness, the drugs, the joblessness, the taxes. They have no fight. They have nothing they can fight with. Republicans have everything. All of that armor is in our court right now, so we need to just take it to them. And I think that Christine Drazen's pretty darn sharp. She'll do that.
What's ahead legislatively for the schedule for lawmakers in Oregon?
Well, we have in June, we have legislative days, so we'll all be back up in Salem for hearings. We don't vote on anything. We actually don't start back into session until January, till after the election. So between now and then, we have several different legislative days where we'll be doing stuff. I've got several bills that I'm working on myself, too. So it's going to be it'll be an interesting legislative session.
Ian, what kinds of things do you have going down in the next few weeks?
Yeah, so I hear a lot of stuff from folks that are just really unhappy about the whole child predator laws and some of the issues we have with abusing kids. I've met with the Myrtle Creek Police Department and a few others that have been doing some online stings, and I have been amazed to find out that a lot of the current legislation in place doesn't really go after some of the worst offenders. And so we're working on changing some of that. Also, I'm sure you've heard of the recent case here locally where there was a young man that killed a five-year-old and raped her. You know, it's been several years ago, but he's potentially going to get out on parole. I plan on being at that parole hearing in June. I'll be speaking against letting him out. He got two life sentences for that, and thanks to Kate Brown and Democrats, they have undid that. So I'm going to try my hardest to make an amendment to that law and change it with a bill, and hopefully we can keep those people in jail.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.